Well, I once again so value and appreciate the hope of the gospel. You know that I find that even in judgment, there is hope when it's with the Lord. The Lord brings us hope and a way out. And He has shown me a way out so many times with His mercy. We have considered a bit the last Sunday, or maybe several, the difference that the power of God makes in our lives and can make. Last Sunday, and we heard the verse quoted this morning, I liked the way it was quoted. It's a little variation, but it had the same meaning. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And this morning, I am inspired with the availability of the testimony that each of us can have of, but I obtained mercy. I'd like to write that on the board. But I obtained mercy. I'd like to read a passage this morning out of 1 Timothy 1, and we'll start at verse 12. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through, maybe we'll read through the 15th verse, or maybe 14. It says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me." He didn't enable himself. "I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Notice the 13th verse says, "Who was before." In the past, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. I was bad news. That's what Paul's saying. I was bad news. I didn't do good things for people. I hurt people. I did things against God. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. Not good to be a persecutor. Paul said I was a persecutor. I injured people. What is our tendency as human beings when we begin to reflect on our past failures? Things that we have erred in, misguided decision making, judgment that is faulty, that results in disappointing and unpleasant consequences. You ever been there? I have. I could spend a long time with you this morning describing what I wish I could do over. But what do we do when we start reflecting on some of those things? And I'm not talking about an error where we said, you know, I messed up. I should have chose the chicken instead of the beef. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things in our lives that hurt. I'm talking about things that we look back and we say, oh, if I could just do it over again. Things that we have some deep-seated feelings about in our lives. What do we do with those things as people? You know what a lot of times we do? A lot of times we can begin to allow those things to define us in our own minds. We can begin to get under those things. We can carry those things through life, carry the weight of them, even as a Christian. Even though we've been saved. Even though we believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ and His blood and His mercy. As humans, sometimes we feel the need to go ahead and carry it anyway. And strap it on our backs. Almost like we're doing penance or something. Like we're not worthy to let it go. That I've been saved, I've been forgiven, yes, but... And then we think about all the things we could have done different and maybe the hurt that we caused other people and the consequences that may still be out there around us, maybe in our own lives, maybe in the lives of others. And so yes, while we claim salvation, we continue to strap on to our backs those things that are a result of errors that we made in the past. Real errors. And we can do that. Well, I get that oftentimes there are consequences that we have to live with in life because of some of the errors that we make. We have to live with them. And other times, yes, it's true. You have to go back and sometimes we have to say, I'm sorry from the heart. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Other times we have to make restitution. And we realize that I did something over here that I need to go back and make it right. Maybe you stole something and you know you stole it and you need to go back and make it right. That's Bible. For us to have peace with the Lord, He said if you come to offer your sacrifice, you come to the altar and you remember you have aught against someone, go do the best you can to make it right and then come back. That is Bible teaching. And I just want to say this morning that in no way is this message intended to take away from the responsibility that we have to do the best we can to make right what we've done wrong. But my message this morning is this, that living with the consequence of an error that we made, living with it, is not the same as allowing ourselves to live under it. It's not the same. And yet often what we do is we try to strap both of them on our back. I'm going to live with it and I'm going to live under it. Almost like we owe that to somebody. To ourselves, to other people. Living with something is not the same as living under it. I think of people as an example that have suffered great loss in their life, personal. Now I'm talking from a physical standpoint. Maybe they've been paralyzed because they made an error in judgment. I had a neighbor that became paralyzed. Knew him when he wasn't. Strong, vibrant, became paralyzed. I've known of other people that have made errors in judgment and became paralyzed. But those people made a choice that they weren't going to allow that paralysis or a loss of limb to define who they were going to be for the rest of their lives. Yes, they made an error. Yes, they maybe have to live with the consequence now of that, but they chose not to live under it. They rose above that and made a choice. I am going to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of me. I am going to make something of my life. I'm not going to allow this thing to be a bondage and a weight that keeps me from going forth in life and making something of what God has given to me. Christ to us, from a spiritual standpoint this morning, He brings sufficient grace to us. that we may have to live with certain consequences, but we do not have to live under them for our lives. And I'll say this too. There are some things, folks, we ought to just forget. There are some things in life where there were consequences of them that God would like us to accept His forgiveness, accept the way that we try to make it right with whomever, and forget it and move on. Forget it. Yes, I know there are other things that you can't just forget because you have to live with them. And there's consequences, and they're real. And I'm not trying to take away from that. But I want to encourage us today that God has an experience, not only an experience, His desire for us is that we not live underneath and become burdened down and weighted for life with the errors that we have made in the past. We have been called. We read here that Paul had been called. We have been called. Yea, we have been counted worthy by Jesus Christ to rise up to something that is so much greater than just recognizing the sin that was in our life. God came to do more than just shine a light on our great need. The Lord has a greater cause for us in life than just to realize the need that we have in life and then live the rest of our life bearing and being under the weight of that load. The Lord has something more for that. He is challenging us to rise up to something more than that. He would like us to carry something besides the thing that we wish we could do over. I want to say that again. The Lord wants us to carry something besides those things that we wish we could do over in life. The Lord would like us today to accept His mercy and then carry His will. Carry a cause that is greater than we are ourselves in life. That is what the Lord wants us to do. You know, it would have been so easy for Paul to get permanently down under the truth that the Lord shined on his way on that day on the Damascus Road. And it would have been so easy for Paul to say, oh my, yes, I have persecuted. Lord, I've been a blasphemer. I have caused injury to other people. And it had been so easy for Paul to retreat to a space for the rest of his life where, yes, he stopped causing injury to other people. Perhaps he stopped blaspheming against God, but he retreated to a place of self-pity or retreated to a place of just utter discouragement. Retreated to a place of self-focus where all of his focus was on what he did wrong. He could have done that, but that is not what he did. On the contrary, Paul accepted something beautiful, something powerful, something that was of much greater value than what money could buy. He said here that, but I obtained mercy. He obtained mercy, but however, yes, I was a blasphemer. Yes, I was injurious. Yes, I was somebody that was a persecutor. Yes, I was wrong. I caused problems for other people. But nevertheless, however, I obtained mercy. And he accepted that mercy. And not only did he accept that mercy, but he then took on a cause that was greater than himself. He took on something that was broader than just trying to make amends for the rest of his life what he himself had done wrong or carried the load or the guilt of it for the rest of his life. He had a testimony here, but I obtained mercy. And this morning, brothers and sisters, these verses apply to you too. These verses apply to all of us. The Lord did not come just to show us, just to show you the need that you have in your own life. Yes, He came to shine a light on those places in our lives that we need to do different in. And yes, He came to do that, but He then brought mercy. Not a mercy where He said, "All right, Rod, you are forgiven. However, you need to carry the guilt of this for the rest of your life. And I want you to know that I'm not going to forget what you did either. Just so you know, I forgive you. When you get to the judgment, I won't hold it against you. But just want you to know I'm not going to forget it in this life. Just want you to know you're going to need to, I'm going to know about it and you should know about it." The Lord brought a different mercy than that. The Lord brings different mercy than that for us today as His people when we stumble and when we fall. And when we come short. And when we realize that we didn't come up to the grace of God like we should. The Lord has mercy for us. He has a place for us that we don't have to get down under it, but that we can rise above it to take on a cause that is greater than ourselves. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. Yes, I make mistakes. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I have errors that are in my life. I could talk to you about it for a long time from a personal standpoint. About me, not you. Talk about me. All of my problems. But God wants me to spend my life with a focus on doing something rather than focus all on myself. He has a cause bigger than that. It's His cause. He wants us to dwell on something that is far beyond us. But the enemy would like to come and press us down and burden us down in bondage and in guilt for the things that we did wrong in the past that we today are sorry for and that we ask for forgiveness and that we did the best that we could to make it right. I can't make all the consequences go away. Neither could Paul. He changed families for the worse. He was solely responsible for taking people out of their family, and they had to live with that for the rest of their life. Not good. But Paul could have got under that and said, "Well, if I caused that problem to them, then I don't deserve to live life either." Listen, Jesus Christ came to forgive you of those things and give you a purpose that goes beyond yourself and your mistakes and your past. He has called us to a wonderful calling. He called Paul here, and He has called us. And Paul looked up that day, and he said, "What would thou have me to do?" He didn't say, "What should I do for myself? What would I have me to do?" No, he said, "What would you have me to do?" Now it was about the Lord's will. Now it was about God's cause, not Paul's cause. The Lord this morning wants us to approach Him and life and ourselves in the same manner. He has something for you to do that goes beyond yourself. He has something to do that goes beyond where you've erred in the past. He is not a God that's out there that wants to continually put in front of you to weigh you down those places where you have fallen in the past. He wants us to get up. He wants us to take on something that is bigger than we are. May God help us to do that today. He gave Paul a new name. Used to be called Saul. Gave him a new name. Gave him a new identity. Shone light in his pathway for him to be able to go. And folks, this morning, we can be called by a new name too. We don't have to be whatever we don't like that defined us in the past, that wasn't pleasant. That isn't who we have to be. That doesn't have to be our end. The Lord has light for us too today. And He wants something special for us. He came to call us up from where we were and set our feet on solid rock and then point us in a direction that helped other people see Jesus Christ. Not for us to be looking inward for the rest of our lives. Rahab the harlot. What was she known for? She known for all of her sin? Rahab the harlot was known for her faith. She showed up in the book of Hebrews. In fact, in Hebrews 11 and 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not." 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 words. Powerful words. 7 words. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. It didn't say that she didn't perish because of all of her good works. It didn't say that she didn't perish because of the strength of her sin. Yes, she was a harlot. Yes, she messed up. But she didn't perish. She didn't have to come under it. Why? Because of her faith. Do you wish that that verse wasn't in the Bible? Does anybody here wish and think, you know what, I don't think those words ought to have been in the book of Hebrews in the same breath as the heroes of faith? She was a harlot. How did she manage to get in there? She should have carried that guilt with her, with the sin that she had, and that should have defined her in life as opposed to showing up in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Is there anybody here that wishes that that sentence wasn't there? I'm glad it's there. And I suspect this morning that every one of us could put our name in this place. We can put our name here. God wants us to be able to identify with this and insert our name. Rod Smith, the one that made all of these mistakes in the past, that erred in judgment, that adversely affected other people, that failed the grace of God, perished not because of his faith. And we can go forward having a faith in Jesus Christ that he has something for us where we don't have to come under those things that the enemy would like to push us down under. May God help us this morning that we would be encouraged not to let our failures cause us to be that thing that causes us to daily retreat to a cave and reflect all of our energy and our focus on those things and subsequently perish in spirit. Let's not be consumed by these things that were all wrong, but let us rejoice in the new day that God has given us a special place in His kingdom to get up and to carry a cause forward that is greater than we are. Let's read about one such cause. We have just a few more minutes. That goes beyond ourselves. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the 12th verse, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." This is Paul writing again. And Paul again said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." That's who we want to be this morning, the elect of God, chosen by God to be His people, saved, covered under His blood. What did he say to put on? Bowels of mercy. Well, back then, they used that terminology, bowels, kind of like today we say, from my heart, from the innermost part of my being. It's from who I am. It's sincere. It means something to me. It's from my heart. And they use the word from bowels of mercy, for mercy that comes from within, something that's true and it's pure and it's genuine. And Paul said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect, bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, just like Christ forgave you, you forgive them. This is a cause that is greater than ourselves. Sometimes we wonder, and we talk about this sometimes, what does God want for me in life? What's my place? I look around and I see, well, other people seem like they found their place. What's my place in the body? And the enemy sometimes likes to overcomplicate it and make people feel like, well, you don't have a place. What is your place? Well, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like I can do a whole lot. In the fear of the Lord this morning, I want to express to you one of the most important places you could ever fill in life. And if this is all that you did, if God doesn't point to something else, this is a place that if more people would fill this place for Jesus Christ, more people would see Jesus Christ. And that is two things: that we would accept the mercy of Jesus Christ for ourselves and then go and show mercy. This is a cause that is greater than ourselves. May God help us accept His mercy. And then show mercy. It takes both. How do you think it would be if we say, well, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and I go out and I find somebody that is in darkness and in trouble and in error and in sin, and I go to them and I say, oh, listen, I have good news for you. The hope of the gospel. Jesus Christ has come to save you. And He's come to set your feet on a rock. And He's good news. And all you need to do is ask for forgiveness and mercy. And they look up at you and they say, that sounds wonderful. What is that you have strapped on your back? Oh, well, that's the guilt that I'm carrying for all the things that I did wrong in my past. Well, what kind of message is that to the world? We're going to go to be a light for Jesus Christ to the world, and we haven't accepted His mercy? We have in theory, but we're going to continue to carry the guilt, and we're going to continue to carry the wrong, and we're going to go through life in bondage to the things that we wish that we could have done over with. But then we're going to go out and try to spread the good news to other people on how good it can be for them if they serve Jesus Christ. Do you think that's what Jesus Christ wants? For us to go to the world and say, there's mercy for you, and they say, well, what's that on your back? Well, that's what I'm still hauling around from my past. Well, then how is that mercy? But I obtained mercy. Yes, I was those things. Yes, it's true. But, however, nevertheless, I obtained mercy by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I accepted it. And I took on a cause that was greater than myself. I took on a cause that was outside of focusing on everything that I did wrong in the past. But I lifted my eyes up with courage and confidence and faith and expectation in Jesus Christ. And I accepted His mercy. And I took on His cause. Not my cause. I took on His cause. And I went into the world to show mercy. Do you know both of these are outside of ourselves? Both of these represent a cause that is outside of ourselves. Sometimes we feel like we're really doing something good and holy by carrying those things that we did wrong Like, I'm not worthy to let go of it, so I'm not going to let go of it. Christ came to help you let go of it. Because He has a purpose that is bigger than you. And He wants you to be saved. And He wants you to feel peace in your heart. Oh, yes. And then He wants us to show mercy. You mean to the people that do me wrong? The injustices that I bear? Yes. If we can show mercy to other people and forgive from our hearts and be humble and forbear with one another when we cross each other and be merciful, bowels of mercy and kindness and humility and meekness. What a sweeter way than that. To show Jesus Christ to the world. But I obtained mercy. And by the help of the Lord, I want to go forward in this life. And I want to show mercy. We can all be faithful. As Paul was counted faithful, we can all be counted faithful. We can all have a place in the ministry to take the gospel to the world by showing Jesus Christ to other people. The beautiful hope of the gospel rings with the offer of this testimony, but I obtain mercy. This morning, let's receive that message in peace. And let's go into the world being willing to accept the fullness of the mercy of God and to be willing to be merciful to those that wrong us. May God help us embrace these truths is my prayer this morning. Amen.